This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's going to be okay, and I have hope, and I trust God, and I trust that this is all going to, it's all for a reason.
I mentioned his name.
Sure.
And he's somebody also who he, it seems like he believes in God.
Mm.
So maybe if he comes across this video, maybe he'll look into the way of life that now you're talking about,
inshallah,
that's based on proof and evidence.
Yeah, inshallah.
And maybe this Justin Bieber will also come to Islam.
When I really sit in my room and I'm alone and I can just like, God, are you there? Like, I feel this connection with something that's a higher being. It just, and picture it as being a perfect thing.
Yeah.
It just puts an ease to my soul that's like, I can't describe.
Special.
It's special, yeah.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. And I don't mean to be weird and like.
No. This is, you're talking to a guy who was raised within the Catholic Church. I went, you know, 10 years of Catholic school,
weird,
man.
Dude.
Yo, I went to church every morning, man, for many, many years.
What did you have any of those experiences? So first he's starting off talking about like not being able to trust people who's wanting something,
yeah,
right? But then he's talking about spending that time alone and a
yeah,
higher presence. And
absolutely, absolutely. You know, subhanAllah, even I think the time that I felt it the most was when I actually went on the search.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I, at the start, coming from being an atheist, I didn't believe in God, right? And so at first, I'm looking for proofs and evidences to believe in God. And so, you know, I once I accepted that as a fact, there, because that was the start, right? There, I realized there's a necessity for the existence of a creator of the universe. Once you realize that, then looking into religion or looking any further, you know, even during that time, you know that if there is a God, that you're now doing something for the sake of him. Even if you're not following a religion yet, I'm going on this search with the intention to get closer to God, with the intention to find the objective truth. And if that objective truth is God, then I'm asking God to open my eyes up to that truth, right? And so even through this whole search of not even being religious, I already started to feel like it's an internal connection that you have just knowing that you're working towards getting closer to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though you don't exactly know what it is that you're working towards getting close to, you know, it's, you know, that whatever the God is that you're on a path trying to be sincere and get closer to him. So, yeah.
And you can see, like, when I mentioned these childhood actors who grow up and they fill that void, because everyone now naturally wants to know, why am I here? Why have I been created? Obviously went through your mind and
yeah,
you started the search and you went further. You didn't cover it up with all the entertainment and everything,
right,
and just numb yourself. And that's what we see happening. People numb themselves, alcohol, drugs, and
absolutely,
they don't really investigate, look like you did. And it leads to a dark road of
yeah,
depression, anxiety. You know, we all experience these things here and there, but Islam gives you the antidote and helps you to get through all these challenges of life.
Absolutely.
So now tell me this, when you see, because that's what the end goal is, and then people might not worship the creator, but they end up worshiping their desires, money, fame, status. So in this industry, did you go to any parties? Did you get invited to some of the after the shoot? Usually they'll have like the after parties, red
yeah,
carpet, and
like
just observing, you know, the demeanor of people, how they were. What was your impression on?
Yeah, look, I think one thing I've always hated is one of my biggest pet peeves was the red carpet,
yeah,
especially the way when we use the word celebrity, it's almost, to me, it's almost like, what have you done? That's why should we be celebrating this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you use the word idol, why are you looking up to this person? You don't know anything about mm-hmm, their internal state, right? They could be the most unhappy person. You're idolizing them. You want to become this person, and they could be absolutely depressed. And you know, we see it many times, people that we might consider idols or that the public might consider idols that end up committing suicide or you know damaging themselves in ways that are so terrible. And subhanAllah, to go back on your point about kind of people using whatever it is to distract themselves, subhanAllah, one thing that literally is what kind of increased me in my ambition towards searching for the truth was a quote that I heard. I can't remember who it was that said it, but it was, imagine that you went to sleep tonight and you woke up on a train and you had no idea how you got there, mm-hmm. where you were going, those would be your first questions. And you would not care about anything else. If a server came by and tried to hand you champagne and people were like, don't worry about where we're going, it's, you know, we're having fun on this train, you would be like, no, I want to know where we're going and where and how I got here and what is going on, right? And so, and who put me here? And subhanAllah, that is exactly this life. You know, we've been put here, we don't know how we got here, we don't know where we're going, we don't know what our purpose is, we don't know why we're here, and yet, you know, all these illusions and distractions, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's, you know, distracting with media and, you know, finances and materialistic gains and whatever else, whatever our desires, our worldly desires are, those things are simply distractions,
yeah,
from, and to keep us away from the real question and to keep us away from the truth. And so when I realized, okay, yeah, this makes a lot of sense, it's the most important question to answer, mm-hmm. there's nothing else that could possibly be a bigger distraction than not knowing.
Okay, so for the people who are out there, they see, okay, Hollywood actor, young man, and now he's thinking about more serious things, purpose of life, right. You know, why we've been created, why we're talking about God and all that, and it makes sense. So they're with you, they're with us, okay? But as soon as you go deeper and people start talking about Jesus, Trinity, or other religions, you know, and in each of these religions, and we call them man-made religions. Why? Because in one way or another, these are things that man has developed over time, and it forms into creation worship. Sure. So this was something unique about your story. And then you'll lose the people, and then people, the fitra rejects this. And then people start to associate all these weird superstitions, incantations with the religion. They're like, this stuff is like, you know, way out there. It's like, and then they start looking at all religions as just weird and whatnot. So you wanted to poke holes in the different religions, and you started to examine all the different religions.
Yeah.
And then you got to a point, you were like, either I'm going to, you tried so hard not to be Muslim, and Muslim is simply one who submits his or her will to God. It's not an Arab in the desert or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to die knowing it's the truth, or I'm going to die Muslim. So what was it about all the other religions that turned you off? And what was the main thing about Islam that turned you on?
Sure, sure. So for me, when I started my search, I had basically a list of three criteria.
Yes.
For any book that claimed to be the word of God, any religion that claimed to be, you know, true.
Yeah.
My three were...
Three criteria.
Yeah, three criteria. Number one is the book needs to be preserved. We need to have evidence of its preservation.
Preservation. Beautiful. Yeah. You're thinking logically, okay? Yeah.
So preservation. So I need to know that what I'm reading today is what was revealed or what was is in its original form.
Yes.
Right. Number two was there can't be a single contradiction. Because if God's the author, then, you know, God couldn't have a single contradiction. There couldn't be a contradiction in this book.
Beautiful.
Right. And number three, there has to be some sort of signs or evidences of divine knowledge, something that couldn't have been known at that time, or something that human beings couldn't understand, but we've later, through advances in technology, been able to find out to be true.
Preservation.
Yeah.
No contradictions, and evidence that it's from the Creator.
Yeah.
It's not just blind faith.
Yeah. And so this is the thing that was spearheading my search. And
reminds me of my journey also.
Really?
Same thing. Allah almost identical, yes.
Subhanallah.
I wanted evidence.
Yeah.
Sometimes you believe in God, and then what? They take you down a dark road of some man-made religion. Exactly. I don't want to follow man-made religion. I want to follow the way of life from the Creator.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think for me, it actually was very easy for most of these religions. It's very quickly that you can start to find flaws, whether it's in you know, the Bible or any other books or religions. You can find the flaws in, okay, we don't have any proof this has been preserved. We can see changes in the Bible. We can see changes that have happened over time with these different religions. We can find contradictions, clear-cut contradictions. No, there's no way to reconcile whatsoever. And we see sometimes, even in these books, things that it speaks about that it gets wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanAllah, so for me, it was actually very quickly that I was able to get through a lot of religions until really Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Islam, the first thing I went straight to was the preservation, because for me, if it's not been preserved, then that throws out a lot of things anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, preservation was number one. And I got, when I started to look at, okay, number one, we have kids that are hafiz of Quran from the age of 10 years old. So clearly it can be memorized.
For people who have never heard this word, hafiz, right. They're able to memorize the preservers of the Quran.
Preserve the whole entire Quran, letter by letter and word by word, from memory.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a single other, religion that had this in it, right? Number two, we have carbon dated manuscripts back to the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And full manuscripts from only a short time afterwards, right? And so for me, I had hard evidence from an empiricism standpoint of Western idea of what stands for evidence. I have carbon dated manuscripts.
You know about those in Birmingham, I think, right now?
Yes, the Birmingham manuscript.
You know about that.
Yeah.
You're looking at one of the oldest fragments of the Quran ever discovered. It's written on parchment, most likely made from sheep or goat skin, and it's been dated by experts as being more than 1,300 years old. And that makes it among the earliest known fragments of the Quran anywhere in the world. And it's here in the University of Birmingham. This remarkable document had been resting on the shelves of the university library for decades without anybody realizing just how old it was, until a researcher decided to take a closer look.
The person who actually wrote it may well have known the Prophet Muhammad. He would have seen him probably. He would maybe have heard him preach. He may have known him personally. And that really is quite a thought to conjure with.
Birmingham has one of the country's biggest Muslim communities, and they have welcomed having such a treasure in their city.
When I saw these pages, I was very much moved, and there were tears of joy and emotions in my eyes.
You've done your homework, mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And so that was one thing, plus the memorization proved to me that, okay, it's possible that this has been preserved, right? And it being possible is enough for me to, not say, okay, I have proof it hasn't been. Right, so this is the thing, is any of these religions, I needed proof it hasn't been, not proof that it has 100% been, just proof that it hasn't been, and that was enough for me to, if it's possible that it's been preserved, then that was enough for me to put it as a point for and not against, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least put it in the middle. Next came to contradictions. This is what I spent the most time upon, was really just trying to find a contradiction. And for me, my Google search was literally proof the Quran is wrong. That was it. Contradictions in the Quran. Proof Islam is false.
You're really trying not to be Muslim.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't want to be upon anything that isn't the truth, right? Yeah. And so if somebody out there has found a reason why Islam is false, I want to listen to them. I want to be convinced by them. Because we know, it's no question what it means. There's a lot of sacrifices that you have to make. There's a lot of restrictions that you have to follow.
So you've listened to a lot of these Islamophobes, career people who are in it just for, all day and night. They don't call people to their religion, Christianity or whatever religion. They just spend all their effort on trying to disprove Islam.
It's
you listen
sad.
To a lot of
it's
those.
It's sad,
huh?
Man. Yeah. It really is. It's almost like, you said it, right? You said it. They basically, their entire life mission is to disprove Islam and not even to prove their own religion.
Uh-huh.
Even we see ex-Muslims that will make their entire YouTube channel about not being an ex-Muslim. And it's like their whole identity is the fact that they left Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Like something there already tells you that there's not that much sincerity and more a emotional hatred or dislike mm-hmm. with Islam or Muslims, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And even most of these ex-Muslims, they never actually practiced Islam. They never searched into Islam. And even if you listen to their arguments of why they left Islam or why they dislike Islam, a lot of the times it's purely emotional. It's purely this is happening here or this. It has nothing to do with a logical conclusion.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to before you were talking about contradictions, but let's give them a real-life example now. You are you Arab?
No, I'm not. No.
Are you fluent in Arabic?
I'm not fluent in Arabic,
okay.
No.
Neither am I. I'm not Arab. But you're going to go ahead and when we talk about preservation, every Muslim one who is submitted to the will of God, as a Muslim is, as I said before, in Islam, is submission to the will of God, is striving to preserve, to memorize some of the Quran, mm. and their prayers, and then the different surahs that we have.
Right.
You've already memorized some of the Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
Can you go ahead and share some of the memorization with the opening chapter, the Al-Fatiha?
Oh, sure.
Can you recite that for us?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
ما شاء الله. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله.
So this is how the Quran, we often have a saying that you can take all the books in the world, throw them in the ocean, lock them up in a safe, get rid of all of them. And if they're gone, you wouldn't be able to bring them back. But that's how the Quran has been preserved. It's the only text that you can actually bring back with people like this who are memorizing it and reciting it. Not Arabs.
The Quran is eternal. Literally, it's eternal. There is nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that could stop the Quran from being preserved.
And if people would just take the meaning of this verse, it's calling upon the Creator for guidance, acknowledging, you know, obviously the meaning and everything. And it's like, it's almost like somewhat like the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is thy will be done is Islam, right? Submission to the will of God. And it's amazing. So we gave them example, the preservation, the contradictions. You were talking about finding no contradictions. Now you have people try to, you know, like these Islam, they'll bring something up and then they don't go to an expert and then they'll think, oh, I got you here, but you got through all that also, all those games that they play, huh?
Yeah, so it's tough. It's tough to do. Like, I'll be honest, having the amount of free time that I did is really what helped me. I don't know how I would have, I don't know how I would have navigated it. It's really tough to navigate because you have so many people, especially in non-debate contexts, right? Where you're just, it's just one guy in his room or wherever it may be speaking whatever he wants to speak to a camera. And if enough people want to listen and hear, and if it makes enough people happy, they'll get views, right? And people will believe it, even though no one's fact-checked him. No one of knowledge has actually come to, you know, debate or counter his arguments. He's simply just a random guy speaking for all anybody knows, right? So for me, I literally had to do what you're saying is I had to, you know, listen to a guy, whatever he says, however wrong it may be. I didn't know it was wrong. So I would listen to him. Then I would go and find the counter argument.
Yeah,
right? For every single video or every single article that I was reading, I would find the counter argument. And then I would find the counter to the counter argument. And then I would go back and forth and keep doing this until I came to my own decision on what seemed the most rational and logical opinion. And then once that singular topic was clarified for me, I would move on to the next one. And I would just do this. And this is what literally took me. I've spent 6-7 hours a day for 4 or 5 months doing this, locked in my room, just research.
Were you within yourself asking, seeking, saying, guide me in whatever words you were saying? Were you asking, however you called upon the Creator for guidance?
Yeah, you know, personally, I wasn't even, I don't think it was an out loud thing, but internally.
In your heart, internally, yeah.
Internally, absolutely. Internally, I knew that, look, whatever this journey leads me to, whatever I end up upon, I know that I've been searching for a connection with God. I know I've been searching for the truth.
Now, when you say God, in your heart, were you saying, okay, Jesus, Muhammad, were you calling upon?
I was calling upon the Creator of the world.
The Creator, that's it.
The Creator of the universe.
That's it.
Whatever and however that was, I didn't know, but.
And I always tell people that's the simple thing to do. It's simple homework. It's call upon the one who created you.
Yeah.
As soon as you put an intermediary between you and God, you messed it up.
Yeah.
So this is something that, again, goes with the innate nature. Call upon the one who created, the one that Jesus prayed to. Let's talk about Jesus.
Please.
Now, talk to me here. You talk about also this journey. And this is in no way disrespecting our brothers and sisters out there of any other religions, but just pointing out some of the obvious to have people to think. And your love for Jesus. We often say that, you know, Jesus, peace be upon him. When you accept Islam, you truly know his message. You truly love him, his blessed mother. What's your relationship with Jesus is now? And why didn't you end up like Justin Bieber taking Jesus as God?
Right. Yes, Paolo. So because I didn't come from a Christian background, I was still needing to be convinced by Christianity. Whereas, you know, many people who maybe come from Christianity or are born into a Christian household, that love for Jesus or that, you know, that experience of having Jesus's name spoken all around the house and stuff and everywhere you go is already there for them. So for me, my first really, okay, who is Jesus? You know, obviously I hear him spoken about in some songs and whatever it may be, and I know what Christianity is, but who is this guy Jesus, you know? And why do Christians believe that he's God? And so when I started to do my research, especially into the Bible, you know, going through those three things, preservation, no contradictions, and divine knowledge or some sort of evidences of being from the Creator, I found with Christianity, you know, I was having a hard time with those things. But one thing I did find interesting was the fact that you have different accounts of the same guy, Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus Christ's life. Right, you have people saying that he spread a certain message, that he, you know, performed miracles, that he was, you know, preaching and trying to spread a message. And so for me, that still seemed interesting. Okay, you have different accounts of the same man, they're all saying the same thing or similar things, while I found contradictions in them, that didn't negate the fact that there's still some evidences or truth to this. And so, subhanAllah, the more that I started to really, at the start, I veered away from Christianity. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I can't really follow this because it hasn't been preserved and there's contradictions. I can't believe that this is exactly from God.
All right, stop right there. So you figured out that Matthew didn't write Matthew, Luke didn't write Luke.
People, of course, call the gospel books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we don't know who wrote these books, and there's no point calling them Sam, Fred, Jerry, and Harry. I mean, they're written by people. We don't know who they were written by. They are anonymous. You might not think so because they have the title, The Gospel According to Matthew. Whoever put that title on it was an editor later. The followers of Jesus were Aramaic-speaking peasants from Galilee, lower-class men who were not educated. In fact, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 are literally said to be illiterate. They couldn't read and write. Of course not. They were fishermen. They didn't go to school. The vast majority of people in the ancient world never learned to read, let alone write. And their native language was Aramaic. These books are written in Greek by highly educated, rhetorically trained writers who are skilled in Greek composition.
Yeah.
The four gospels are anonymous books. You figured all this out. Yes, and these are Christian scholars telling us.
Yes, yes. So Christian scholars. And this is the thing. It's like Christians will unknowledgeable Christians will not know this.
Yeah.
But knowledgeable Christians will stipulate.
You've really done your homework. Yeah. So you figured that out. Okay. And then you give an example of the, you talk about the Trinity not making sense.
Yeah.
Can you touch upon that?
Yeah, sure. For me, I mean, there's just the idea of three all-powerful beings, but one are all-powerful. To me, number one didn't make sense. Number two, when I started to really look into, you know, I came back to starting to look at Christianity a second time, closer to the end of my search before getting to Islam. And subhanAllah, that's when I really started to see these Christian and Muslim debates. And when I started to see these debates, a lot of the time they would speak about, okay, this guy Jesus couldn't have been God. You know, number one, he says, none knows the hour except the Father, right? And so right away, if you have three, if you're speaking about a Trinity where they're three all-powerful, co-equal, but one all-powerful, then they should all have the same knowledge. They should be all knowledgeable, all wise. Yet, you know, Isa alayhi salam didn't know the hour. He goes to look at he sees a tree, from a distance and says, let me go over to see if there's some fruits. And he only has to walk up to the tree to see that there's no fruits on the tree. These are not attributes of an all-knowledgeable.
And this is no disrespect to Jesus.
No,
or
not
Christianity.
At all.
This is pointing out the obvious, that he's not all-knowing, that he didn't claim to be God.
He sought guidance from his creator.
God. Yeah.
Put his head on the ground, right? He's depicted.
Prayed like Muslims.
Yeah, prayed like Muslims. He's depicted even though, like, of course, we don't depict any of our prophets. He's depicted by the Christians wearing white thobe with a beard. To me, it was
saying,
like...
Saying assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Peace be with you.
Yeah. Subhanallah. To me, it was just like...
All the signs are pointing you to Islam.
To Islam.
Him being a Muslim.
Subhanallah. So that was even my first, like, oh, what is Islam? Because honestly, Islam wasn't even on my radar in terms of a religion that I was going to take seriously and search, like, and go down until seeing that.